Hi, Sharon.
Hey, Renee. Good afternoon.
Hi.
How's it going over there?
Oh, actually, it's kind of quiet. That's good.
Kind of quiet and peaceful. As opposed to my house, where people have been running down dark hallways screaming and...
Really?
I've had Boogeyman on television.
What, are they filming something else?
No. I meant I've been playing the movie.
Oh, you've been playing the movie? Oh,
yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, hang on a second.
Okay.
It's okay. That is hilarious.
Oh, I was so scared.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just basically had my finger over the mute button constantly.
Oh. Oh, I'm glad you were scared.
Oh, I'm such a chicken, and that is such a scary movie.
Isn't that great?
Oh, wow.
I know.
And lots of nice twists at the end, and there you are, the peaceful, calm person.
But I was trying to be the red herring at times.
Uh-huh.
Did you get that at all? Some people did, some people didn't.
Yes, well, I did.
I'll try to be subtle.
Because, in fact, that was one of the questions that I was going to ask you down there, and I think that pertains to just that. But let's do a quick recap.
Yeah.
This was a Ghost House Pictures production.
Yeah.
from Rob Tappert and... Sam. Now, did you have to, how did you find it? And did you have to audition for the role?
I didn't audition, but
uh-huh.
I did meet with the director. I forgot that part. I just know that Rob basically, when I voiced an interest, made some calls and carried on from there. But I did meet with the director, you know, so that he could have an idea if I was the right one in his mind.
Right.
So we had a cup of tea.
And,
oh, no, wait, actually, go back. First, I went into their office and met with the director and the producer, and I already was pretty much on my way to do Ghost Town. Mm. So I walked in with my hair extensions down at my waist. You know?
Oh, wow, that's right.
My stride. And said hello and, you know, we just chatted, and that was it, and then I left. And then when I came back from North Carolina, then I had a cup of tea with the director, and we talked more about the character and what he wanted to do with the film.
Uh-huh.
And that was it.
Uh-huh. And why did you want this role?
You know, it was forgetting that it was a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an interesting character that had depth.
Uh-huh.
And was really trying to do something different in her life and in the lives of these kids.
Yeah.
That appealed to me.
Yeah. Now, you had mentioned in some other interviews that also this particular setting was a bit familiar to you from something you'd done before.
Yeah.
Which...
Well, no, I just got off the phone, actually, with my friend. He is a cardiologist, and he was approached by a company to do a pilot for a reality TV show where he would be the... spokesperson. I think this was when I was still on Xena, so it was a while ago.
Yeah.
We went to this hospital, and I went down there to check his makeup and just be goofy, because he's an old family friend, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I walked down the hallways just checking out the place, and I thought, oh my gosh, this would be a great spot for a horror film one day.
Uh-huh.
My mind goes, you know?
Uh-huh.
And little did I know, I would be exactly in that area.
Look, that light can turn out, and that light can turn out.
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
Can I be electrocuted?
You know, and I kept waiting for the, you know, something that happens that we're going to talk about at the very end when you talk about wanting to take home souvenirs, but we'll get to that. this was filmed in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How nice was that?
Yeah, how handy.
You know, I think I like this idea.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of working near my home.
Uh-huh. Boy, it sure makes life so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I let's see, there was Boogeyman. Before that, I worked on NYPD Blue. Oh. I think there was, Rockford Files was L.A. But that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? After all these years, I just, in my mind, do not relate working with being comfortable in my own home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm always the one that packs up the bag and lives in a hotel for a while.
Not being able to sleep in your own bed at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's definitely one of the considerations that have kept me from acting, is I don't want to take my kids and, you know, and put them in places where, you know, you can't find a playground or something. You know,
right.
Where they can't just live and be happy.
Right.
So much.
What kind of building did they shoot in? Would they shoot in a hospital? Or?
It used to be a hospital one time.
Oh.
It had many transformations.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there in the movie, there's the one room that looks like a library.
Yes, uh-huh.
That was real. Those records are real records of individuals.
Oh.
And while I was snooping around again,
yeah.
I went into that room, and I pulled out a file, and it was a yellow file with the letters D-E-A-D written with a black marker across it. I just put it right back in.
Whoa.
I like, said my little prayer, like, I'm really sorry, you know.
Wow.
Served anybody, you know. I don't know, just kind of, I basically just kind of went, oh, you know.
Yeah.
I have no business in here, really.
Wow, that was spooky.
I'll just sort of leave all, you know, all alone, and I'll just go on my own merry
way. Somebody's telling me something here.
Yeah, he's my little nosy nose.
Now, you like to prepare your characters. So, you know, I mean, there's lots of psychiatrists on TV and, you know, that you probably have seen during your lifetime. Did you just go on what you already knew, or did you work on, you know, other aspects of her?
I actually don't watch psychiatrists on television.
Oh, okay.
And the only psychiatrist I've ever had any contact with is like a normal standard psychiatrist someone that I was meeting when I realized Steve and I were in really serious trouble. You know, I started meeting someone about that.
Right.
And anyway, so that was a very brief stint. Mm. But what I did base my work on is this woman that, she's not a psychiatrist, so to speak, but she's sort of this life coach that I've talked about in other situations, but it's more her work about, it's kind of like a Tibetan Buddhist philosophy, you know.
Okay.
This is, she works around. So I have worked with her extensively over the years because, you know, Steve and I went to her when we were deciding to go through a divorce, and we mediated with her, and then I worked on her with all my family history, and then now I'm working with her on just evolving into other things, you know, career-wise, and also looking at other ways I can be more instrumental in social work, you know.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, she's pretty amazing. We just have a real nice bond.
Yeah.
So I used her philosophies with this character. It's all about love and compassion and no separation from your fear to, you know, it is a part of who you are and you just look at it, you know. So most of that was in the writing, but I kind of tweaked it a little bit to sort of suit what she, some of the things that she talks about with me.
Yeah. I remember a couple lines of dialogue that pertain just to that. You know, it's not separate from you. I mean, that was kind of the premise of the movie. There is no boogeyman. What you're afraid of is inside of you.
But the difference between Tobin Bell's character is he wanted you to face your fear, and it was a very, almost abusive way of doing it, you know? Abusive in that this poor guy was trapped, he felt trapped in this closet. Mm-hmm. And so he actually shrunk away and became this split personality. Whereas my character and the approach that I saw with her philosophy is that you have to find love and look at it, you know, with loving eyes, you know, without judging yourself and without blaming yourself or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he needed to hold that moment in his childhood really tenderly, not sort of feel more trapped because of the occurrence.
Right.
So that was sort of the difference between our two characters. And we had to be really specific about that because it wasn't that clear in the writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Tobin spoke with the director pretty extensively about that, and then I did as well. I had my questions. And then the director just kept making sure that we were both on different paths, but yet, you know what I mean? So we could have a conflict.
Right, so it wouldn't just be the same.
Exactly.
Right,
otherwise,
yeah.
That's the point. You know, the whole idea is that he thinks I'm experimenting with this new philosophy, you know, because he's very rigid, everything is black and white, you know, it's all about the facts.
Right, right.
And so then I have to be really clear coming into it about, you know, what does make her different.
Right.
And personally, this lady that I've been working with is very different in her technique compared to how psychiatrists work, because they usually have these sort of rules, like, you know, for instance, with Steve and I, okay, so you need to say this, and then you need to have him say this, and then you need to repeat this, and then he needs to repeat that. You know what I mean? Hmm. And it just did not work. I don't think he's experienced anything like that, but it it was so rigid and ridiculous because it's you can't just take a sheet of paper and just hand it to each person and say this is going to work for everybody, you know?
Right. One therapy fits all.
Yeah.
Right. One solution fits all. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah, and that's why... That's, again, why I liked this character, because she was trying something new and different, and it definitely appealed to me.
See, now, one of the things that I wrote down was, is she calm or is she blocked off? And I think that's where, when you just mentioned, a bit of a red herring, because she seemed so...
calm. You know, the thing is, the approach I just talked about, all that was going into the film, and it was only occasionally that I... did play with the red herring thing, and the reason that came up was out of the scene where I'm locking the door after the boy has burned a hole through his throat.
Oh, right.
You know, and I'm locking the door, I suddenly got this idea that maybe she's hearing something, you know what I mean? She's hearing voices, and I'm just trying to get the keys in the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then I went to Jeff, and I said, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I can incorporate that sort of, that one area that's disjointed or blocked in her that she's not even aware of. And then that became our little device that we only played with, you know. Usually I played it straight, but the last take he let me play that little blocked version of her. And it just gave him options. So it was fun to do. So it made it so much fun because I could try something different.
And you know, I'm not a big horror fan watcher, but in mysteries or in horror films, someone who seems so normal, can frequently turn out to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
So if something happens that's a little off, it kind of makes a little, makes a little hairs rise on your back of your neck going, should my attention should my attention be focused on this person?
Yeah, that's what gets me. So I thought, oh my.
And that's what I don't know at what point I wrote that sentence down. But that's what was going on at the time when I was watching this. You did something. I thought, oh. Because you didn't tell me. I didn't know anything. You know, I didn't know if you were a good guy or a bad guy.
Oh, good. Okay.
You know, I don't remember if I didn't ask or you didn't tell, but I came to it a virgin.
Oh, that's great.
And speaking of witches, Mark, the actor from Seventh Heaven.
The
character.
Know.
What the heck is his name?
Gallagher.
Gallagher.
Isn't he cute?
Oh, I didn't know he was in that movie.
I didn't know who he was.
Uh-huh.
You know,
never saw Seventh Heaven.
I did. Maybe again years ago when he was still a kid on the show.
Yeah.
And I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
I just knew that he had a lot of experience. I don't know how I knew that, but I just had this feeling he had a lot of experience. And he was very focused on doing things for himself, you know? I think he's trying to work on his own projects.
I
got that feeling from
him.
And
so funny.
He's just so sweet. Just such a nice soul that just came in, a fresh air. I really enjoyed working on this movie. All of them were wonderful.
Is it spooky, working on a spooky movie set, you know, with all that dark dialogue and gruesome, happenings?
A little bit, because you had to go from, sort of where you were being held, which was in a different building, through the hallways down to whichever set we were working on.
Right.
And there's definitely that transition where you, I don't know, you just sort of, maybe it's just because we're working with these characters, but you just, it feels different, you know? And I don't know if it was the building or just because my head was in that space.
And speaking of which, let me phrase the question this way. Did you have any desire to take home any souvenirs from the show?
I really wanted to take home the head, the decapitated head. I asked, please let me do this.
What did you want to do with it?
Because I used to watch horror films all the time as a kid. Of course, I knew the Friday the 13th classic moment where you open the refrigerator and there's the head on the platter. And I'm just such a trickster, you know. I just thought, oh my gosh, there's that horrible part of me that just thinks it's kind of funny and just completely terrifying at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So I want to do it, you know.
Yeah.
I almost want to have the thrill for myself. I don't know. Uh-huh. So, of course, they said, no, Renee. So I said, can we just put it in the craft service refrigerator? And they were actually into that. They
oh, my God.
Good idea.
Oh, my God.
They thought about doing it after the head wrapped.
Uh-huh. After the head wrapped. And then didn't have to worry about it being damaged.
Exactly.
It was so real. I mean, in the old days, might they have just kind of like they did Zena's head when, you know, she lost hers. In the old days, would they have maybe just kind of, you know, had you put on a green suit or a blue suit or what have you and photographed it? Because, my God, I couldn't believe it that was not a real, you know, your real head.
Isn't it awful?
Wow.
They did
skin,
great job. No,
everything.
They made this whole prosthetic face, and
wow.
It was so unnerving. I can't tell you. I did not enjoy looking at that thing at all.
Ah.
I had to go... couple times into the special effects makeup trailer to be made up for the electrocution face.
Yeah.
And there next to me is this slack-jawed, eyes glazed over version of myself.
Oh, God.
On a little, like a little wig.
Uh-huh.
Thing, you know?
Yeah.
I was awake.
Wow.
I think I just, I don't need to see that. I'll just look over.
Yeah.
The other direction, which is then a chest prosthetic hanging on the wall where it's been ripped open.
Oh, you what? There's nowhere your eyes could go, right?
I know. Like
nowhere.
Show.
Nowhere. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, I thought I'd actually close by giving people a little tidbit of Criminal Minds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea when that's airing?
It airs April 9th.
April 9th. Oh, not far.
I
cool.
know. Isn't and, it nice? It's nice to do something and have it. Have a quick turnaround.
Yeah, yeah. And how was that? We'll you know, what we should do is talk a little more after it. And
yeah, I loved it. You know, first of all, I just loved working in L.A.
Yeah,
I all the way from the executive producers who were so nice. You know, they said, we've been trying to find a spot for you. Remember? Because
they
kept bringing me in.
Yes.
And they so at the Rita, they just said, you know, we didn't know what to do with you. We knew we wanted to use you somehow, and we could just trying to find the right place, you know?
Yeah.
And so this one came up, and so that was really nice. You know, it's nice to kind of hear that sometimes, because when you go in and, you know, you pour your heart out, you know that you're experiencing what you need to experience for the role, but it's still, you know, there's no closure there by being able to actually do the role.
Right.
And again, those other roles, you know, it came down to age and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
It has to fit into their entire profile of the crime as well.
Right, yeah.
So once I was too young, then I came in and then I was not old enough. You know, they were just they didn't know what to do with me. Like,
But
we don't want to, you know, they're just nice. Like, we want to have something else that, you know, we can use her more. So... they were great.
And obviously you were making a good impression because, they kept trying. And
they
that's not very common in this town, I gather, you know?
Well, it's weird because there's a side to my career where I'm used to getting offers, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, a lot of people do ask me to do things.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another side to my career where I have to go in and I have to show them that I'm not Gabrielle.
Right.
You know? And Criminal Minds is a great example of that because... it's so edgy and it's just so real.
Yeah.
And you have to walk in and be these characters. And it did feel good that they kept bringing me in.
Right, yeah.
The writing was so wonderful, though. I don't think I've had this much depth in the writing of a
dialogue?
Scene since 1 week in a month.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because it was 1 week in the month when I was talking to the mother on the phone. It was just such a raw scene where she... And I think that it felt to me that the writing on this was just sort of complex and subtle in the nuances of what you're trying to get across.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
It was fun. You know, I worked with this guy named Felix.
Felix.
Who directed Lucy on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
Isn't that funny? So,
and he directed The Criminal Minds?
He directed Criminal Minds.
Wow.
So we were chatting about Lucy for a little bit.
What a strange coincidence.
Isn't it nice? I know.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You know, she's going to be on Letterman. The Battlestar cast is going to be on Letterman doing 10 Reasons. I think. Lucy thought it was going to be 10 Reasons you should watch Battlestar Galactica. She thinks. So there's going to be like 10 cast members there.
When did they do it?
I believe it's the should be the 19th.
Of March?
Of March, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just next week. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll stay up late. I'll be up.
Stay up late. Put the Devo on.
Yeah, and I'll be up.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And like I say, I'll touch base again on Criminal Minds.
Okay.